What is up? What is up? This is your girl, Gloria. How's it going, guys? I'm just gonna give Facebook a minute to notify you guys that I am live. Jump on, jump on. How's it going? How's it going? What is up? I've got a story to tell you today. The story is called The Climb. If you don't know who I am, my name is Gloria Medrano, and I am the founder and host of Heart of the City San Diego, a podcast that features all of the diverse people in San Diego, such as business owners and ministry leaders, and just so many different people that make up the city of San Diego. We are all unique here in San Diego. We all have bring a lot of different creativity to the city. And I love that I grew up here. I'm born and raised San Diego, and but I went overseas. I lived overseas for about 14 years in London, England, and raised all of my children there. They don't know too much about San Diego. My son lives here now. My youngest daughter lives here now, and they are learning quite a lot about San Diego now. But previously, they had no clue, no clue at all. I've been through a lot of different adventures here. I'm very eclectic. I had a lot of experiences, but I see some people viewing in. Just say hello in the comments. I want to know who's watching. I want to know who's there. This story is going to be about you, and I think that you can relate to this story today, especially if you're from San Diego, because I'm going to talk a little bit about some landmarks and some schools that are no longer in existence, but you probably know them if you grew up in the 80s. And so, your girl here, you probably don't know this, but I'm from Southeast San Diego. I grew up on Skyline Drive, went to Morris High School, Farrell Junior High School, and I grew up on a private hill in a house that my dad built. And my dad and his grand and my grandfather built the house, and it's had acres and acres of land. And there was there the other house was another house, and that was a house that was built later, but that was owned by my aunt, and then later on they sold the property. But I grew up there, grew up riding motorcycles to the highest level, almost pro status, and then did some competition riding. So I was a high level athlete growing up back in the day. I was a bit of a brawler if you're from the area. We had a lot of riots in our school. It's not in my nature to be like that, but I was bullied quite a lot in ele from elementary all the way to junior high school. And I was a very, very, very shy kid. So I was very timid, very shy, but very athletic. And so I could outrun anyone. But it wasn't until maybe junior high school that my dad finally said, "Look, you're gonna have to stop, and you can't just run your whole life. You're gonna have to stay and confront." And so that is the day that I learned to stop running and start confronting. And I got into one of the biggest of that year. And if you know Old Farrell Junior High School back in the late 70s, there was a lot of riots going on back in the day, and it was just lots. It was just horrible. A lot of fear, a lot of just a lot of just horrible stuff. But the gangs were trying to come after me and they wanted to jump me in. And I was never a gang member, so I never did that because I was more scared of my dad than I was, the gangs. So here I am. I'm in this situation, and I'm like, what do I do? And so this girl just kept coming after me, and so I had got into this major fight. We both went to the hospital, and I thank God because we had a teacher. And he was a club. We were a part of a club at school called Club Villa. And he was basically, he was from the barrio, and he reminded me of Carlos Santana. He was very like Chicano hippie kind of guy with the long hair and the, very 70s look. And, he was into, peace and love and stuff like that. So he was trying to create a unity. So I'm glad, and I'm so glad for that. The girl that I got into the fight with, I guess he talked to her, but she called me up on the phone and apologized to me. And that was the first time I had ever been apologized to. Never been apologized to ever. I don't think ever in my whole life. And I didn't know what to do with that. And so I did what came natural and I accepted her apology. We never became friends or anything. We were always watching each other, throughout the whole school system. But that was the day that I never got into another fight after that again. But I did eventually go into different styles of school because I dropped out of school in the 11th grade. When I did that, I knew that I was academic and I knew that I had much more inside of me. So I searched high and low to go back to school. And some of my friends invited me to a school in National City that they were attending. And they said, it's not like any other school. It's different. You're going to like it and stuff. And so I went to go check it out and I fell in love right away. And the way that I got into the school was, you got to understand the background here, okay? We all come from, a background of we've been in many street fights before. This is the common way of life, basically. So the girl, I went to the school and a girl, the curriculum is mind body values, and a lot of the curriculum is based in or in around a boxing ring in National City. And one of the girls calls me out and she says, she calls me out in the ring to a wrestling match. Okay. I have a brother and he's was, in competition wrestling and, I've done some wrestling, but I am not a wrestler, not at all. but, where I come from, you just do not back down. So I said yes, and I jumped in the room in the rink with her, and we started to wrestle. And so she won the wrestling match. I did not win. I don't know how to wrestle. But that started a journey, a new journey for me in this school. And in the school, it taught us how to get into confrontations, but to in a controlled manner. And I think a lot of the fighting sports and things like that are really good for young people that come up in these, this rough environment, and in neighborhoods that are like that. I think that all young people should be involved in some kind of sports because it really teaches us discipline. It teaches, control. It teaches social skills. It teaches so many different things, and I'm just so grateful. Well, through this journey, one of the training situations was going out to Otay Lakes to climb that little hill, that mountain. It's like it's not really a mountain, but it's a good, pretty good hike up the hill, and it's at back in Otay Lakes. And so the school's in National City. Now we're off, and I want to tell you about a story called The Climb. I call it The Climb, and it relates to many of you business owners. It relates to many of you people that are in the ministry. It relates to young moms. It relates to, just so many different people, because we're all faced with these kind of emotions, and it still chokes me up to this day every single time I tell this story. And so this story has taken place in Otay Lakes, back in, here in San Diego, back by Chula Vista, and it's like a little hill up the, it's a pretty good climb. It's an all-day climb, pretty much. We start climbing, and our whole training that day is about teamwork. And we're at the age of about 16, 17 years old, and we're all coming from all kinds of different backgrounds, some very, very broken. Some are true reformed gang members, and they seen a lot. Some are coming from good homes. Some are not, not coming. They just dropped out and didn't do good in a regular public, traditional public school. And so they're there. It's just so many different backgrounds. On my team, we had a leader, and then we had, I had one other girl on my team, and I think there were three guys. And so here we are. We start this hike. The training is about teamwork, and we're on our way. And the first person to start to complain is the other girl. And she's like, she's sassy. She's a girly girl. She's trying to do this thing. She don't even want to be at the school. She's with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend's on my team. And she's telling him, I want to go back. I want to go back. And she's just whining and whining, and it is awful. And so he's telling her, no, I'm not going to go back. If you're going to go back, just go back. I am here for the team, and I have chosen to go all the way. Either you're going to come with me or you're not. Well, she pouted and she stomped off and she left. She left us. She left the team, left her boyfriend, just left the whole training, and took off by herself. And we kept going. We just kept going. He was upset. He had to control his emotions. He didn't know if she was going to break up with him. He didn't know what was going to go on. There's a lot going on inside this young man, I am sure. On the other hand, there's this other young man who was our leader, who just kept saying, just keep going, just keep going. He was focused. He had a natural knack for leadership. He just, I don't know too much about his home life or any of those things. I just was an observer. My character was observing and encouraging. And that's basically who what I am today as well. And I observed and I observed and I watched the scenario of these young men. Now I'm the only girl left. And so there's the leader, there's the guy who loses his girlfriend, and then there's another young man in this scenario. And he's the main character, this other young man. And he's going along, he's doing really good. He's doing really well on this teamwork thing. He's even quite encouraging at times, I think I had a little kind of moan here and there, a little complaint. Although, I was not a big complainer at this time with these guys. So I'm trying to, hold my own way there, because I'm watching it. They don't need another whiny girl on the team. And so we're going and we're going, and this one guy, who's the main character, he's kind of cracking some jokes as well as we're going up this thing. And he's kind of making it even pleasant going hiking this thing, right? And then we got the leader, and he's just so focused. He's just going and going. And the other guy who loses his girlfriend, he's become now more caring, a bit caring and protective of me being a female. And so he's very kind of this character, right? And we get to the top finally along this kind of climb. We get to the top, and then something very interesting happens. All of these characters begin to manifest certain qualities or not. And here's the area that I want to talk a little bit about sabotage and what the mind does to us, okay? And this is what really chokes me up because I want to cry every single time I tell this story. Like it's choking me up right now. This young man, the main character here, the one that, was cracking some jokes and he did really well. Well, he sat down at the very top of this hill. There's a prize that's supposed to be won, and we get to go take a photo with our trainers, our coaches, and on this little rock formation thing as we go and get our prize and stuff. And the team photo thing. And this guy sits down and he starts to like really get depressed out of nowhere, and he just could not go get the prize. So he begins to say, as I'm trying to kind of console him, and I'm trying to tell him, no, come on, this is not about, this is about you. He says, why am I going to go get that prize? What for? No one cares about me. No one cares about what I do. No one's going to take that prize and put it on a shelf and say, well done, my son. Well done. No one's going to do that. And he begins to start to get really angry. And he says, he's, cussing and, forget that thing. I'm not going to go get it. I'm not going to go get it. No one cares. No one cares about me. And oh my gosh, a lot of hurt came out of this young man. But at the same time, I was thinking the same thing. And him saying that choked me up. And I was thinking, no one's going to put that prize on the shelf. I don't have anyone in my whole entire family who's going to put that prize on a shelf. No one. And so I looked at this young man and I said, it's not about you. It's not about those people. It's not about those people. It's about you. You did the hard work. You put the effort in. You fought the battle climbing up. You have to fight the mind battles in your mind. At the same time, I was fighting my own demons, my own voices saying, who do you think you are? You don't deserve that prize. No one's watching you. No one's following you. No one cares. It's for those people over there, that good leader who went up there and got that prize without even thinking twice. It's for those people. That's not for you. But you know what happened? There's something that clicked inside of me. And as I had to walk away from this young man, he walked all the way back down that hill by himself, alone, without the prize. The young girl left early on in this scenario, and then this young man left at the very top. A great team player. Great encouragement, but he sabotaged himself at the top, talked himself out of the prize, and he left. He left the team, and he disappointed himself. I don't know where this young man is today, but I do know where those people are today who got the prize. And one of them is a very significant person in San Diego, a public figure and a well-known person. And another one, she went on to get her degrees in nursing and teaches in the schools. And another one went on to go and become a voice instructor, vocal instructor to the stars. And her child is a star. And the other one is me. And my children are the only university graduates in my entire family. Because of that day that we decided that we were going to take the prize, no matter what our voices were telling us, no matter all of the scenarios that happened, we decided that we were going to take the prize. And do you know that when we are faced with certain situations in life, it could be raising children, it could be building a business, it could be living in the ministry, sometimes we get to these certain areas in life where it gets dark and struggles happen. And that's when those lies begin to manifest, and they can sabotage all that you are doing in the present. So be careful of those voices. They are lies. And I'm here to tell you, not one single one of us in this entire universe or earth has started off our journey doing it completely right. Okay? I was a high-level athlete, and I had a starting point, okay, was dirt bikes. And my journey was, I was the only girl, and I was the older sister of a brother who and we had an older cousin who was a boy. And if I wanted to keep up at any level, I had to, you know, be able to hurt myself, fall down, and get back up without moaning or weeping or crying. And a lot of times I was left behind being chased by other kids trying to steal our bikes. I was left behind. And in order for me not to be left behind and scared half to death that somebody was going to jump me and take my bike, I had to learn how to pedal pretty fast and go over those jumps and all kinds of stuff. Well, then it progressed to motorbikes, and I have broken bones, I have scars, gash wounds, been to the emergency like countless amounts of times, and they all hurt. Every single one of them scars and broken bones hurt. And in the beginning, I wanted to quit. I wanted to do a wheelie so bad. And my dad was like, are you ready? Cause you're going to fall. And he knew, and he goes, but you're going to have to just keep trying. And he didn't know how to parent, you know, he was just doing the best he could. But he made me get back on the bike until I was comfortable riding it, you know, again. And then we went back to practicing the wheelies. Had he like got mad at me and said, oh, you know, you can't do it, blah, 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 then I would have quit. But no, in this certain situation, he encouraged me to get back on until I was comfortable and felt safe enough. And then we went back to doing the wheelies. Okay. Sometimes in life, it's going to hurt really, really bad. Sometimes you need just a little break until you feel ready to get back to go in to do the hard stuff again, okay? Sometimes you need a little bit of counseling. Sometimes you need a little bit of coaching. Sometimes you need some encouraging words from friends, from family, from, you know, from people that have gone through what you're going through already, and they're already on the other side. But never, ever quit. Never quit. And you're not going to do it perfect. In fact, don't do it perfect. Get that out of your head. Just do it. Just go. Just jump on the thing and just go, okay? You know, get some basic learning, whatever it is that you're doing. Get get the basic gist of how to start, and then just start. Just start. You know, I still to this day, I do a podcast and none of it is perfect. Sometimes there's a lot of, you know, when I do them live, I don't have a script. And in a live and unscripted situation, there's a lot of situations that go wrong, you know? And so you don't know if your Wi-Fi is going to work. You don't know if the, you know, you're going to have a mess up. You don't know if, you know, your equipment's going to break, or, you know, what, you know, you just don't know if the person's going to be late or early or what, you know, one guy, even in the middle of my interview, he was so nervous that I will never tell you who it is. He was so nervous that we had to stop the interview so he could take a minute to, you know, gather himself back again. And so I always bring water. 2 bottles of water, because, you know, the water kind of helps to calm your nerves a bit there. But, you know, it's scary to be interviewed. So I just want to encourage you that there's no perfection here. There's no perfection in life, guys. It's not going to happen, okay? You know, do it. Just enjoy it. Enjoy the process. And those that go far are those that have learned to fail, learned that there's going to be issues. There are going to be people that don't like you and you don't even know why. There are going to be people that want to stop you and you didn't do anything to them. There's just going to be so many different, you're going to have to learn how to have a thick skin, and you're going to have to learn how to let, you know, things just roll off and not chase up certain things, you know, because people are going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you really, really, really bad. You know, because not because of you a lot of times, but because we all have issues. We have issues and hangups, and we are just, you know, human. And sometimes it's on purpose, but you're going to have to not let people stop you. You got to keep going. You got to keep focused, and you got to know why you're there. And you'll learn why you're here on this earth as you just go along and do the things that you love the best. Do those things. I love my job, my secular job that I have right now. I love it. I love what I do. I love, love, love what I do. I get to be nurturing. I get to be even coaching. I get to be encouraging. I get to be all of the things that make up who I am. And then I get to come home and I get to do it over and over and over again outside of work, as a hobby, as a business, as a joy, as a lifestyle. I get to do those things. I love what I do. I have chosen this latter part of my life to do all the things that I love to do. And if I don't like it and it's not part of my destination, I get out of it. I get out. I don't even entertain that. You know, I want to learn. Can I do this? Will I like it? You know, And sometimes you have to go and see for yourself. It doesn't mean that you failed. It just means that you tried. You tried to see if this is something that you like and want to do. And sometimes it's just not. It's not in your makeup to do it. And you have come to that realization. And so you moved out of that and got back on track to what is your destination? What is what you in your makeup? What is what you are called to do? And that's all trial and error. Try and see if that's what you like. And so I hope and I pray that any of this message would help you and inspire you to stay on track, to keep doing what you love to do. And don't worry about all of the mistakes or failures. Sometimes I get a stomach ache. Oh, if I think about the things that I made mistakes over, you know, in doing a podcast or doing other things, you know, equipment falling or failing or whatever, you know, or saying dumb stuff on camera. Or, you know, if I go back and I listen to some of them, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I sound horrible on the mic or things like that, right? Because when you're first hearing your voice, you're like, is that how I sound? It's awful. But then you get other people who are like, you are just so inspiring. You encouraged me to stay on track. You encouraged me in my business and so many things, right? And a lot of the things behind the scenes that I've shared in messages on Messenger, where people have this certain perception of me, you know, that, you know, because I'm a chaplain, I've been in the ministry, I'm a former pastor and missionary. You know, I've done lots of things in my former life, and at present I'm a life coach and a chaplain. And I still love the mission field. And so I still give to the mission field. I still, you know, encourage and help however I can and connect people together. I love to connect people together. I love to, you know, go on road trips, and I love to navigate. I love the GPS system. I love all of that that entails a navigation or a connecting together. I love hunting for resources and gathering up information to give to someone to say, here, eat this up. It's good for you. I love, love, love to do that. And so I stay in that. I love to be in that and help with that. So that those are my little places where I stay in, and that's how I thrive in San Diego. And, you know, in England, it was a learning process of how I provide or what I do best. And so, you know, we don't know until we actually try, and no one is going to be perfect the first time around. Okay. No one is. And so we got to give ourselves grace and other people grace. We got to give ourselves mercy, and we got to give other people mercy. We got to give ourselves forgiveness. We got to give other people forgiveness, you guys. Because in the end, that is what Jesus has done for us. So with that said, I'm going to peace out for now. I love you guys. And I just hope that this was an encouraging message for you. That's okay. You're doing okay. You're right where you need to be right now. Peace out. Love you.